Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. I pray that as I have studied your word and sought the help of the Holy Spirit, that the message that I bring forth is truly your message. Lord, open our hearts and minds to receive what you have for us this day. And may we take your word out into this world to share it with those who do not yet know it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably upon his people and redeemed them. Redeemed, buying back. For us, for every human being, a spiritual buying back when we believe, confess, and accept. He has shown his mercy to our ancestors and remembered his holy covenant, that solemn pledge that he made to our ancestor Abraham. Mercy, compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Redemption and mercy, important for every single one of us. But I wonder how often we truly think about that. How often do we really stop and think about the redemption and the mercy that has been given to us through the blood of Jesus Christ? How often that we think about how he went to the cross for us, of how he died, taking our sins to that cross, and how he rose again to give us eternal life.
As Zechariah prophesies, he shares that his son John will prepare the way for the Messiah, the one who will give a light in the darkness and be a guide for peace. However, in this passage of Scripture, I think two very important verses are found in 74 and 75. That we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Serving him without fear. Do we serve God without fear? Do we serve him in holiness and righteousness? Fear to be afraid. My mic's off? Oh no. It's saying it's on. This one doesn't work. I'll move. See, Dave Hess goes away and I break the microphone. What are you afraid of? I have a loud voice, and I'll move when we're at the other mic. What are you afraid of? Do you fear anything? Do you fear closed-in spaces? Whoops, gotta take the headpiece off. Do you fear snakes? Do you fear the dark? What is it that you fear? I don't think those are the type of things that Zechariah is talking about as we heard our scripture this morning. When he says that we are to serve without fear. I think in our minds we probably think of persecution. You know, we know that in biblical times people were persecuted for their faith. Not something you and I really have to fear, though, is it? As we live in a country where there is a freedom of religion.
But I think sometimes we fail to serve, not in what we ourselves would call fear, but in what we would look at as just not knowing. You really can't name what it is. I have asked people to lead Bible study, and I'm sure people have been asked to lead Sunday school, and oftentimes they say, oh, I couldn't do that. I don't know my Bible well enough. You ask people to go out and evangelize, and they say the same thing. Oh, I couldn't evangelize. I don't know Scripture well enough. The fear, there is fear in that, right? People fear. What if somebody asks me a question, and I don't know the biblical answer to that? You know what? That's okay. It's really okay, because there are none who know all the answers. So there is nothing wrong with saying to someone, I'm sorry, I really don't know the answer to that. And I wouldn't want to mislead you. People fear what others will think about them. If you say to someone, I'm sorry, I don't really know the answer about that, and I wouldn't want to mislead you, do you worry then about what they're going to think about you because you don't know the answer? People fear what others will think about them, because what if they misunderstand my love and my concern for them as just being a nosy person? Because we know that sometimes that is the case. Or what if they misunderstand my love and concern for them as just being a religious nut who thinks that I have to take care of everyone? Sometimes people fear the unknown of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ because they don't know what's going to happen at their places of employment if they do so. Well, I wonder if that'll affect the promotion I'm working for. Or what if it will affect my job, period? Or they fear of how people will treat their children. You know, if I'm sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and, you know, my kids' friends' parents don't believe in Jesus, how's that going to affect my child? Are they going to then not allow their children to associate with my child or children? We worry about what people will say behind our backs. We worry about people rejecting us. See, we fear that unknown. We don't know how people are going to respond. We don't know how things are going to affect us in different capacities. And so we don't serve because of that fear. Right now, I hear fear from people as we talk about our vision meetings. First, I would invite you to come to them. But second, people fear these meetings because they fear what is going to come out of these meetings, because they know that it's going to bring about change. And people fear change. But I'd like us to think about Scripture. I'd like you to think about every person who God called in the Old Testament. I'd like you to think about the people that Jesus brought along as his disciples and those he reached out to in ministry. Not one person's life stayed the same. Change happened. And so we can't live in fear. We can't serve God in fear. So when Zechariah says that we need to serve him in holiness and righteousness, what he's telling us is that we need to step out in faith. We need to put that fear behind us. So I'd like you to think about that. Forget about all those things that I just shared with you. And think about what it would be like to live in holiness and righteousness. What would happen if we only thought about that and didn't think about these things that are unknown or these things that scare us? Would our lives look differently? How are we serving God now? Are we serving God now because we feel that we have that obligation to Him? Because if we are, that's not serving in a holy and righteous attitude. God is calling us to serve Him with our whole hearts. And my friends, it is a privilege for us to serve God. A privilege. It's a privilege to come together to worship Him and then to serve Him. I'd like you to think about worship for a minute. We come together on Sunday mornings to worship together. How do you think about the word worship? Do you think about worship as being a noun? Who remembers English and what a noun is? A person, a place, or a thing. So do you look at, I'm going to worship, meaning I'm going to a building? Or do you look at worship as a verb? Who remembers what a verb is? It's an action. We come here to a church building to worship the Lord together. And that requires an action. We sing, we pray, we listen, but do we truly open ourselves to the work of God's Holy Spirit? Because that is the main purpose of worship. The main purpose of worship is that we are so aware of God's greatness, of God's goodness, of God's Holy Spirit being in us and dwelling among us, that we want to do nothing but obey God. We want to do nothing but worship Him actively. We want to do nothing but bring honor and glory to His name as we serve Him in both holiness and righteousness. To serve God in holiness and righteousness means we love perfectly. By show of hands, how many of us love perfectly? You're right, none of us. Often there's a misconception, though, I think, about what people think of when they think about loving and holiness and righteousness, because it can sometimes lead to self-righteousness, or it sometimes can lead to perpetual guilt, neither which are of God. But living in holiness and righteousness means that our hearts are so filled with the love of Jesus Christ that our words and our actions give testimony to who He is. To the fact that He is the Savior of the world. But the question we need to ask ourselves is, do they? Do our words and our actions give that testimony? I'll be honest, I know mine always don't. And yet I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. So why is that? Why is it that my words and my actions don't always show others who Christ is? because sometimes I think I know the answer. And so therefore, I don't go to Jesus. I don't consult God and ask him to allow his Holy Spirit to give me the answer that he has for me. Sometimes it's just because I want what I want. But you know what? I am so thankful for the prompting of God's Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit that nudges me, that pokes me, that reminds me when I am not living in holiness and righteousness. When I am not living as God has called me to live. See, living in holiness and righteousness means that we are open to the presence and the manifestation of Christ. His holy presence is what Zechariah praises and proclaims. When he says that he comes to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. See, without the presence of God in our lives, without the presence of Jesus Christ living in our hearts, without the presence of the Holy Spirit nudging us and poking us, then we are lurking in that shadow of death. We are living in darkness. Holiness brings the presence of the living Christ into every moment of our lives, so that we can live righteous lives. When you think of living a righteous life, think about what it means to live right with Christ, to live without sin. Because truly what it is a heart transformation. Because when Christ comes into our hearts, he transforms our lives. And in that transformation, he moves us out of that fear and into holy and righteous living. Next week begins Advent, the anticipation of the coming of Christ. But today we celebrate who Christ is. He is our King. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he is meant to be king of every aspect of our lives. So I pray that we are able to put our fears behind us and we are able to step out in faith to live holy and righteous lives. Amen.